Hey guys, just want to let you know the Patreon is up. Check it out, patreon.com/Beer City Media Podcast for all your extra Beer City Media needs. Now on with the show.
Nestled on the outskirts of metropolitan Nashville lies the small town of Adams, Tennessee. Like thousands of other small towns in the United States, it is quiet, peaceful, and easily overlooked by travellers. If you look beyond its humble exterior, however, you will find a dark past. Stories of a haunting which began little over 200 years ago, and which reportedly continues to this day.
Welcome to the Conspiracy Therapy Podcast with Ryan, Larry, Springhill, Josh, and the Aluma Mummy herself, Miss April. And on today's episode, ladies, gentlemen, boys, and girls,
the Bell Witch.
Are you serious?
Yeah, if you put your headphones on, maybe you'd...
I can't hear your music.
We could hear it.
Because you don't have the headphones.
I have them on. I can't hear it.
Recording from home. This is the way it is.
Let me. Do you want me to try something?
No, it's fine. I'll fix it in post.
This is a nightmare, folks.
Larry Neese. I'll fix it in post. The Larry Neese story.
That's your autobiography.
Yep.
All right. Well, hey.
That's what I'm going to put on my tombstone. God will fix this in post.
Red Dead 2020. In the skeptic, in the mom, in the boon. Gonna talk about a witch. Witchy things. A Bruin. It's 1817, folks. That's right. We're going back in time.
I don't remember that song by Prince.
Yes. Yes, it was. We need to pull the witch's broom to the side of the road. Get real. Witches. If you had the opportunity to have to come up with a witch's spell that you could do, what kind of spell would you cast?
Ooh, that's a good one.
It is.
I think
if I was
a witch, or I knew somebody who was a witch, if they could put a spell on me so that I could change my appearance to look like anybody, kind of like Mystique from X-Men. Like I could just change who I look like and whatnot. That'd be pretty dope.
Yeah.
So kind of a wish type curse.
Yeah,
I suppose
I would bewitch myself to know, like, to instantly know if I was being lied to. Like I would want to know when people were telling the truth and when people were lying.
Mm-hmm. Again, it kind of a wish, but I'll take them. Guess I did. I need to specify my pull the things to sides.
Okay. Of yes.
Things more, but that's okay. Larry, what kind of curse would you, if you could, or spell would you do?
Oh, I would curse Burger King.
Aren't they already cursed?
They're already cursed, man.
Okay. Like, so you're saying like, curse. Like what curse would we put on someone else if we were a witch? Is what you meant. Okay. If that was the case, shit.
I would put a curse on Donald Trump so that he always had to speak the truth.
Ooh, that'd be a good one.
That's kind of taking your wife's wish and doing it hence on the soon to be former leader of the free world.
My hands are tiny, yes. And so is my penis. Oh no.
Maybe we don't need to know everything.
Yeah, right. I would over. Put
It's a wig.
It's not a wig, I can tell you that. Cause did you see his appearance today?
No.
He is completely gray now.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, it was like Aaron and I were like, whoa, he just like stopped coloring it. It's completely gray.
Jeez.
So I think it's just a funky comb over.
Yeah.
Well, we do know that the presidency does stuff to you, all that stress and whatnot. And
it does. Does stuff below the belt.
To give some kind of credit to Trump, 2020 has not been favorable for him. So I can imagine while the rest of us Americans are going, wow, this sucks. He's going, oh God, I'm supposed to be the leader of this shithole.
Yeah. Right? So, if I was going to cast a spell, it would be on the ability. See, I'm making a wish, but I guess a spell is. Yeah, like I'd want to wish to be able to see through walls, I guess, probably, because I'm always curious. Like, there's, you ever get those feelings? Sometimes you see a building and you're like, what the hell is that thing?
Mm-hmm.
Or like somebody's got this weird like shape mist, like weird Minecraftian house that's got all like octopus legs and things like that, and you're like, what the mm-hmm. hell is in that room, or what's in that garage?
It's a sex shop.
Yeah. Right. Okay, then I would change mine to, I would curse, maybe not curse, I would like cast a spell on everyone I meet to make them think that they owed me $20.
That's genius.
Like the cashier at fucking Aldi, you'd be like, oh shit, I owe you $20 for that thing. And I'd be like, yeah, you do. You better pay up. I take PayPal and Venmo and Apple Pay, Facebook Messenger Pay. I take them all.
Starbucks Pay.
Yeah, you can add money to my Starbucks card. That's cool too.
I would curse that all the bad people in the world
got diarrhea.
Anytime they felt happy, they inadvertently shit themselves. So Jeff Bezos would be like, you know, anybody that's like in some, just like, that's it, now we have sealed the deal, we have signed over the papers, and now you own this great, you know, sweatshop or whatever, and they're just like, woo! Oh, this is great. And there's just like a boardroom full of people who just agreed to something, just shitting everywhere.
My dearest Americans. Oh, no.
See,
you give them too much credit by saying my dearest Americans.
Well, I mean,
see, the upside to that is that I would never shit my pants because I'm fucking clinically depressed.
The saddest thing I've heard tonight.
It's fine.
Why is she got no poo-poo on her bum-bum, mommy? Why is she not like the rest of us, just dragging her butts on the ground, leaving racing stripes?
See that lady right there with the pink hair that just became a new local model?
Why? It's true.
She's She's the saddest creature we've ever seen.
Oh, God. I'm the real life squonk.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun. All right. So, as is, the Bell Witch, interesting story. I will tell you guys right up front, this is the only ghost or spirit that has actually claimed a life.
Mm-hmm.
Spoopy.
Oh. I mean, oh.
All right. Well, anyway, the story, the witch, basically meaning named Bell, which was actually named after the family that she haunted.
Mm.
And hence John Bell.
Oh, I thought you mean Taco
probably
Bell.
The John Bell and Betsy Bell, as she'll become known, are the two main players in the Bell Witch story. And as such, we'll start from the beginning and hear about this cursed family.
Yes, this was actually like, I know we talk about this a lot, that like, I tend to really enjoy like the paranormal ones. Those are my favorites.
Oh yeah.
So this was a fun episode to research for me. But we'll start talking about John Bell. Now, in the early 1800s, John Bell moved his family from North Carolina to the Red River Bottomland in Robertson County, Tennessee. This is all very, like, Mason-Dixon, like, podunk. But it's great. So they settled in the community of Red River, which would later become Adams, Tennessee. Now, John Bell was a relatively well-to-do guy. He bought a chunk of land and a huge house for his family. So over the next couple of years, he would buy more land. So he had 328 acres total.
That's a lot of land.
That is a lot of land. And because he had all this land, what's he going to do with it? He cleared a bunch of the fields for planting. Now, at the same time, he was made an elder of the Red River Baptist Church. The Bells had three children after moving to Tennessee: Elizabeth, who was born in 1806, Richard, who was born in 1811, and Joel, who was born in 1813. So that kind of gives you the sort of the time we're looking at here. It's like early 1800s. Now,
this Bell guy's just popping them out.
I guess. Well, what else are you going to do in the 1800s? Fucking plow your fields and plow your wife.
Yes. Now, 1806 Mario Kart. It's just like,
what?
The kid yelling at a dead dog. And
what?
I'm talking about what their video games would be like at that time.
They didn't even have electricity back then.
I know, I'm saying.
They're literally putting like a turtle, a small Italian
They're
guy.
Actually hammering real turtles.
Oh, God.
Frogger
it's got
was
the heebie-jeebies. Knock it out.
Frogger was just some kid whipping a frog in front of a horse and carriage. Eat it, Frogger.
Contra was just going to the bank and being denied a loan.
No, it was shooting illegal aliens.
Hey, that one right there, shoot that one.
Oh my God,
that's retro Duck Hunt
1806.
Oh my God, Jesus.
Anyway,
right. Now, it was a wonderful day in 1817. John Bell went out to inspect his cornfield when he encountered a strange looking animal sitting in the middle of a corn row. Now, he was really fucking freaked out because he had never seen anything like it. It had the body of a dog and the head of a rabbit, and it was huge. He fired his gun several times, didn't hit the animal, but scared it away. And he didn't really think anything more of it. Like, he was like, well, it's gone now, whatever the fuck it was, until after dinner. So that evening, the Bell family began hearing beating sounds on the outside walls of their log house. Dun, dun, dun. Plot thickens. So on other occasions, the Bell children had seen some strange things. John's son, Drew, had approached an unknown bird perched on a fence that flew off and was of extraordinary size. I don't think that that's super extraordinary. Like, you saw a bird.
If you've ever seen a crane, they're huge. You know?
Yes, yeah. They are. Yeah, shit, those things are massive. Betsy observed a girl in a green dress swinging from the limb of an oak tree. No, I don't know if that was like swinging on a swing or like swinging from her neck. Mm-hmm. But swinging, I guess. Mm-hmm.
So one thing to point out, you said the girl swinging was wearing a green dress.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I noticed is that a lot of, because when I remember reading or listening to something, someone talk about that and thinking like, wow, there's this interesting parallel basically where Betsy seeing the person swinging in the green as an evil thing is because green at that time was the color of the devil.
Oh,
and a lot of publications and art.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. Yeah,
Satan is green your color?
I'm more into blue now, but yeah, at one point green was in. It was a different time.
Fair enough. Now, on another occasion, Dean, who was one of the Bell's slaves, reported being followed by a large black dog on the evenings he visited his wife. So nothing super out of the ordinary, but just some strange occurrences. Now, the mysterious sounds continued more often and with more force with every passing night. John and his sons would rush outside to catch the culprit, but always came up empty handed. In the following weeks, the Bell children would often wake up frightened, complaining that rats were gnawing at their bedposts. Jesus. Awesome. Right now, not long after that, the children began complaining of having their blankets pulled off and their pillows tossed on the floor by an invisible entity.
That's not an invisible entity. It's my 4-year-old getting in their bed and stealing all the blankets.
Sounds about
this
right.
Happens to me almost every night now.
Yep. Now, it was around this time that John Bell began experiencing paralysis. For those of us who have trouble with that one, paralysis in his mouth. Okay, so as time went on, the Bells began hearing faint whispering voices, which were too weak to understand, but sounded like a feeble old woman singing hymns.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
It was Granny 07 on the job. She just got carried away with her hymns.
Yeah, that was a spry 60 back then.
So the encounters escalated and the Bell's youngest daughter, Betsy, began experiencing brutal encounters with the invisible entity. It would pull her hair and slap her relentlessly, which honestly sounds like a pretty good time to me.
That sounds like pretty sure I saw that porn earlier.
Right? Yeah,
this is someone's kink.
Yep. Now, the disturbances, which John insisted that the family keep a secret, eventually became so intense that he decided to share with his family trouble with his closest friend and neighbor, James Johnston. So, of course, James Johnston did what any concerned neighbor would do, and he took his wife and spent the night at the Bell home. So while they were there, they were subject to the same terrifying disturbances that the Bells had experienced. So they, I guess, got slapped around and had their blankets ripped off. And it honestly, it just sounds like living with a toddler, but whatever. So in the middle of the night, after he got slapped in the face again, he jumped out of bed and shouted, "In the name of the Lord, who are you and what do you want?" There was no response, but the remainder of the night was relatively peaceful. So it was like he kind of got his point across, I guess.
Maybe that's like the first instance of a ghost getting caught and being like, "Well, shit.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck, man, they see me.
I'm really sorry about that.
I'll save it for the verdict.
See, yeah, this is why I like paranormal ones, is because Larry's so anti, like, believing in paranormal.
I keep thinking of this, and I'll save it for verdict.
Okay. I know it's a very thin story, but it's fine. So the entity's voice strengthened over time to the point where it was loud and unmistakable. It told John Bell it was
that, to me, that just says that the kids were just growling and going through 17's puberty,
right?
Or whatever that was supposed to be.
Hey.
Steal your blankets. Slap your face.
The growling got worse.
I needed something to jizz in.
Yeah. We're going to jerk off on the horse's tail.
The perfect place to jerk off. Yeah. Horse's tail.
The main place I jerk off.
Horse jerk. No.
So, this entity told John Bell it was a spirit, just like in the Bible. It sang hymns, quoted scripture, carried on intelligent conversation, and once even quoted, word for word, two sermons that were preached at the same time on the same day, 13 miles apart. Now, how they knew that it was word for word is beyond me, but okay.
Right.
The spear offered a range of explanations why it had appeared, tying its origin to the disturbance of a Native American burial mound located on the property, which sent Drew Bell and Bennett Porter, boy, that's a Southern name if I've ever heard one, Bennett Porter, on an unproductive search for buried treasure. So, John Johnston, the guy who had spent the night at the house and told the spirit to fuck off, his son... Or no, James's son, John, devised a test for the witch, something nobody outside his family would know, asking the entity what his Dutch step-grandmother in North Carolina would say to the slaves if she thought they did something wrong.
Spotting.
Right, I know. The witch replied in his grandmother's accent, "Hut tut, what has happened now?" That's a lot nicer than what I was expecting, but okay.
Tut tut. Mm.
Looks like rain.
Pip, pip.
I'm a proper ghost.
Let's be honest. If it's a Dutch step-grandmother, it's like, hut tut, where's my fucking rusk?
Where's my butter?
Yeah.
I love that Dutch grandma's candor. Just gets right to it.
Oh my God. Now, in another account, an Englishman stopped to visit and offered to investigate because at this time they were getting relatively famous for this haunting.
Yeah.
On remarking on his family overseas, the witch suddenly began to mimic his English parents. Again, in early morning, the witch woke him to voices of his parents worried as they had heard his voice as well. The Englishman quickly left that morning and later wrote to Bell and his family to apologize for his skepticism. So basically, he heard his parents' voice and his parents heard his voice.
Hmm.
So now the spirit occasionally displayed a form of kindness, calling Bell's wife Lucy the most perfect woman to walk the earth.
Yeah.
Right?
John's like, hey, that sounds a little biased. All right. We're on the same political ticket here.
Right.
We're cool.
The witch would give Lucy fresh fruit and sing hymns to her and showed John Bell Jr. A measure of respect. See, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get a nice witch that brings me food and maybe can run across the street to Starbucks for me. I'm down with it. I'm down to the most perfect woman to walk the earth.
I have some booberries for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Larry Neese.
And that's our show for tonight, folks. just stop it there. It gets no better than that. Yeah. Oh, okay. So that being said, she hated John Bell and referred to him as Old Jack, which doesn't make any sense, but okay. She spoke often of her intent to kill him and signaled this through curses, threats, and afflictions. So I don't know what he ever did to her, but she hated him, apparently. Now, word of this supernatural phenomenon soon spread outside the settlement, even to Nashville, where then Major General Andrew Jackson took an interest.
No shit.
Yep.
Wow.
Now, John Bell Jr., Drury Bell, and Jesse Bell, John Bell's eldest sons,
them Duke boys getting away with it again.
Right. It's so Southern. I love it so much. They had all fought under General Jackson in the Battle of New Orleans, which, okay, this is going to be a deep cut, but has anyone heard the song The Battle of New Orleans by Johnny Horton?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just me. Okay, it's real old timey, and my grandma who was super into 60s country. It's like real banjo heavy, but as soon as I read that, I was like, oh, Battle of New Orleans by Johnny Horton. Anyway, in 1819, Jackson decided to visit the Bell Farm and see what all the hoopla was about. Yes, that's right, hoopla. Jackson's entourage consisted of several men, some well-groomed horses, and a wagon. As they approached the Bell property, the wagon stopped suddenly. The horses could not pull it. Now, after several minutes of cursing and trying to coax the horses into pulling the wagon, Andrew Jackson proclaimed, "By the eternal, boys, that must be the Bell Witch."
By the power of Grayskull.
I just really wish I could have been alive in the 1800s because they have some fucking sweet language that I think we need to revive.
Because I've never in my internal life turned to Larry or any of my friends or Josh or you and been like, "By the eternal."
That's ever. It. We're bringing it back.
I mean, yeah, there's just like those old Englishy terms that we must have taken from across the bay to here. Like those things are just, it's just great.
I know. I love it so much. So Jackson proclaimed, "By the eternal, boys, that must be the Bell Witch." Then a disembodied female voice told Jackson that they could proceed and that she would see them again later that evening.
Sounds like my thing. I like hymnals and pears and selling the Lord's word to me.
Right. So they were then able to proceed across the property, up the lane, and to the Bell home, where Jackson and John Bell had a long discussion about the Indians and other topics.
While I'm Jackson's sure that was not racial at all.
Yeah, right. I'm sure that was a very
adult
PC conversation. Yeah. So while they talked, Jackson's entourage waited to see if the entity was going to manifest. Now, one of these men claimed to be a witch tamer. After several uneventful hours, he pulled out a shiny pistol and proclaimed that its silver bullet would kill any evil spirit that it came into contact with. He went on to say that the reason nothing had happened to them was that whatever had been disturbing the Bells was scared of his silver bullet. The witch disagreed politely.
No.
Yeah. So immediately the man screamed and began jerking his body in different directions.
Good Lord. I thought you're going to say like how I react to fear, which is to scream and then just jerk off.
Right. That is the natural way of things.
Oh, a wild Larry.
What was that? I saw a spider.
A wild Larry has been spooked.
Oh my God. It's always those like fear adrenaline comes that paint paintings.
That's how you take care of that spider problem.
That's right. Oh Lord.
Here's my web, Spider-Man.
Oh my God. So he began jerking his body in different directions, complaining that he was being stuck with pins and beaten severely. A strong, swift kick to his ass from an invisible foot sent him flying out the fucking front door.
It was a cartoon. Right?
I didn't know Red Foreman was out here giving beatings. So now the witch was pissed. She spoke up and announced that there was another fraud in Jackson's party and that he would be identified and tormented the following evening. Now, after that, Jackson's men were freaked the fuck out,
right,
and begged to leave the Bell farm. But Jackson insisted on staying so that he could figure out who the other fraud was. The men eventually went outside to sleep in their tents, but continued to beg Jackson to leave. Hmm. Now, what happened next, no one really knows. But Jackson and his entourage were spotted in nearby Springfield early the next morning, presumably en route back to Nashville.
As of this,
so they busted out of there before dawn.
Have the Simpsons done this on the Treehouse of Horrors yet? Because I feel like it should.
I don't know. They should.
A parody of this whole like thing, and then the fraud guy getting kicked out the door.
Yeah.
Like all I could imagine was it was just cartoon, like a big giant hand with one of those mechanical boots, just like kicking him out the door.
It kind of gave me that like Family Guy like stereotype where like. Yeah, and then Lois, then remember when I was like Andrew Jackson, scared of the Bell Witch, and then it just goes through the
Family Guy. Remember this, and then they do a cartoon version, and you're like, yeah, I do.
I feel like you were the first guy I ever heard because you've said that joke for years now, but I feel like you're the first guy who I ever heard say that, and now everybody's like taking that from
me. It's like, okay, yeah, that's a memory I have. Yep, that happened. It in a cartoon form.
Yeah.
This is lazy writing.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, should we take a break?
Should we?
I don't know. Should we? We're half hour in.
Oh, no. You want... All right. Well, we're handing it off then.
Yep.
To this guy. So, over time, Elizabeth or Betsy Bell became interested in Joshua Gardner. Now, Joshua Gardner, who's a young, strapping local boy. And, with the blessing of their parents, they decided to marry. Everyone was happy about their engagement, while almost everyone, the entity for reasons unknown to this day, reportedly told Betsy not to marry Joshua Gardner. Betsy and Josh's former school teacher, Richard Powell, had been noticeably interested in Betsy for some time, which is probably that same Edgar Allan Poe type interest.
I was about to do a bit where they introduced each other to Edgar Allan Poe, but...
I'm sorry, man.
No, it's okay. We can't read each other's minds. I mean...
Yet.
Yeah. So, little Susie.
So, Edgar, where should I go for a wedding gift registry? No, I'd say Toys R Us. Build-A-Bear. Build-A-Bear is a good place.
You see that, Betsy? Why don't you set your Danimals drink down for a minute so I can ask you this important question. Drop the crayons. Mm-hmm. All right.
Lego, that'd be a good gift.
By some accounts, Powell, who was 11 years Betsy's senior, was a student of the occult, although it has not been proved. So some people think this teacher who was interested in Betsy dabbled in the dark arts.
Ooh.
He was secretly married to a woman in nearby Nashville, Esther Scott, during the time he spent at Red River expressing his fondness for Betsy. So this guy,
he's a player.
Fiddle-dee-dee.
He's the 1807 Monopoly guy with a pimp stick. So
he was Rad Dad 1817.
Yeah. According to old accounts, Powell politely expressed his disappointment with Betsy's engagement and wished her a long and prosperous marriage with Joshua Gardner. So even though he was a player knew to respect other players' game.
Hey, yeah, game respects game.
Right.
Go ahead. You all right?
Betsy and Joshua could not go to the river, the field, or the cave to play without the entity taunting them persistently.
Ooh.
Their patience finally reached critical mass, and on Easter Monday of 1821, Betsy met Joshua at the river and broke off their engagement.
Oh, dear.
Sad. This disturbance... the disturbances decreased after Betsy ended the engagement, but the entity continued to express dislike for John Bell, the dad, and vowed relentlessly to kill him. Bell had been experiencing episodes of twitching in his face and difficulty swallowing for almost a year. And the the issue that he had seemed to grow worse and worse over time. By the fall of 1820, his declining health had confined him to the house, where the entity commenced removing his shoes when he tried to walk and slapping his face when he experienced seizures. Her loud, shrill voice could be heard all over the farm, cursing and chastising old Jack Bell, as she often referred to him. Now, this is interesting. So, John Bell breathed his last breath on the morning of December 20th, 1820, after slipping into a coma the day before. Immediately after his death, the family found a small vial of unidentified liquid in the cupboard.
Ooh.
John Bell Jr. gave some of it to the cat, which died instantly. The entity exclaiming joyfully, "I gave old Jack a big dose of that last night, which fixed him."
Ooh.
John Jr. quickly threw the vial into the fireplace, where it burst into a bright bluish flame and shot up the chimney. John Bell's funeral was one of the largest ever held
in
Robertson.
This is dangerous. Let me set it on fire so we all inhale the fumes.
By the eternal, that is a genius idea,
Lawrence. Like meth for sore throats?
Well, what they... Brian... I knows this as well, that when people died of quote unquote the consumption, they would burn them, and wouldn't they consume the ashes?
Yeah. that's how the tuberculosis spread.
Yeah. Fucking geniuses.
Like, hey, that those zombies out there, you think we should use them as firewood? It'd be like, okay.
Yeah, but we should eat the ashes as well.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Capital idea there, friend.
No, thank you. I'm a doctor. I mean, I don't have a license. I just put doctor up. That you didn't even need a license. You just put doctor whatever on your sign and you'd be a doctor.
Amazing.
Dr. Pepper.
The red bumps are all over you. Quick, eat a dead person.
Yeah.
If you guys were around back then, what would you put in front of your name to fool people?
Oh, I'd be like Dr. Fintius T. P. Burnham.
Gynecologist.
Gynecologist.
I'm Dr.
I mean, you could.
What was that? Something.
What'd you say?
Oh, I'm Dr. Ass Doctor. Podiatrist.
I come in the back door, you see.
Oh, man. Boy, I don't know. I feel like, would I have wanted to be a doctor? That's a lot of pressure.
Who says it has to be a doctor? You could be like, true. I am Sex Lord.
Sex Lord? Jesus Christ. Well, that's a lie. Like, I know. Well,
I'm just saying, you could say anything, obviously.
I would have been fucking tavern wench. I would have had like an 1800 strip club, but I would have been the pimp. I would have run a brothel, but I was like a lady pimp.
Mm-hmm.
So Dr.
Yeah.
Dr. Pussy here.
In April of 1821, the entity visited John Bell's widow, Lucy, and told her that it would return for a visit in 7 years. The entity returned in 1828 as promised. Most of its visits centered around John Bell Jr., with whom the entity discussed such things as the origin of life, civilizations, Christianity, and the need for a mass spiritual reawakening.
Sounds like someone's hitting
of particular significance or its nearly accurate predictions of the Civil War and other events. So, I mean, ghost came back. You know what's weird about this ghost story, I feel like, in the second half, is that other than wanting to kill the one guy, it's just basically this sweet old ghost that comes around and is like, hey, I'm just going to talk to you about life, religion, things like that.
I'm just here to shoot the shit. Where's John? Make him some cookies.
Yep. She's like just a sweet old grandma who really had it in for John Bell.
Yeah, we just wanted to talk about, the Earth and origins and whatnot.
I started talking with that John Bell, and then I realized he was one of those libtards.
Yeah. He's all about socialism and the shit.
Keeps talking about that Abraham Lincoln, and I just can't agree to that.
No. Oh, man. I want to add to that, but, man... That was perfect. So, anyway, so the entity said, for Will, farewell after 3 weeks, promising to visit John Bell's most direct descendant in 107 years. Why 107 years? Who the fuck knows? But the year would have been 1935, and the closest living direct descendant of John Bell at the time was Nashville physician Dr. Charles Bailey Bell. Dr. Bell himself wrote a book about the Bell Witch, published in 1934. No follow-up was published, and Dr. Bell died in 1945. Do you think that would be the worst thing ever to know? Like, theoretical question here.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Pod fam.
Okay. What you got?
If you could... I just got chills. This might be a movie idea. This,
okay.
You mean like the Blair Witch Project?
No, if you could, you could type in
wrong witch, Josh.
No. This
we're talking Bell Witch, not Blair Witch.
This is the what they used for.
It sounds like the it's like the ghosts of the Golden Girls. There's Bell Witch and Blair Witch and
Rose Witch,
Rose Witch,
Blanche Witch, and
the worst of them all, Sandwich.
No, my question was, if there was an app or some sort of site you could go into, type mm-hmm. your name, and it would tell you the year you were going to die.
Oh, fuck no. Absolutely not.
We discussed this question not too long ago, if you'd like to know how you're going to die or when you're going to die.
Neither.
You had to choose one.
Oh, you have to choose one?
We did. I don't remember what my choice was.
Fuck. I guess I would I would say how, I guess.
Yeah. I would go with when.
Yeah. See, I don't want to put a time limit on it because if I'm like, oh, fuck, well, I'm out of here in 7 years.
That way, you know, you have 7 years to do everything that you would want to do.
Yeah. You know what I do, though? I'd sit on the couch and stuff myself with French onion dip and chips.
Exactly. Well, because you know, like, well, I'm not going to die from it. I still have 4 years.
Right.
Well, it would be, it could be like really like terrifying though. If you go how, and it's like, asphyxiation by snake, frog, porn, masturbation, orgy, sexting.
I wouldn't even believe it. I'd be like, this is bullshit.
Well, and that's the thing. Like I feel like if I knew how I died, I would just avoid that. Like if they're like, oh,
exactly.
Drowned, like, I would just only take showers.
Hit by bus. And now you just got to lock yourself indoors. I mean,
yep.
Then you no longer live in life.
Yep.
How? Eaten by an alligator. Well, I'm staying out of Florida.
Moving to Alaska.
Yep. Oh, dude, Canada, here I come.
When I was in, when we went to South Carolina for a vacation of 3 years ago, I think it was, like alligators would just fucking flop up onto the sidewalk at this condos we were renting.
Jesus.
But they're so fat and lazy, it wasn't like scary. Like they were just sunning themselves. They didn't give a shit that you were there.
Americanized alligators.
We have video.
Now, kids.
I actually took video of my cousin like throwing ice cubes at the gators. They didn't even care. Well, my cousin, you got to realize my cousin was a pro skateboarder for a little bit. Like he had that kind of the switch in his head that just didn't care about safety. Still doesn't. Right. So like throwing ice cubes at an alligator made sense.
Right.
See, my fear would be an alligator appearing and Asher going, I want to ride it.
Yeah, right.
I'm surprised my cousin didn't do that, quite frankly.
It's a South Carolina alligator. Dude,
with the ice cubes, for some reason, I went to Tammy and the T-Rex in my head, and I just pictured the alligator with a margarita in its hand, like flopping it in the air and catching the ice.
Just imagine the trailer for that. If it was a movie, it'd be like, this year. Alligators.
It's the
lazy alligators.
Alligators.
It's the skater.
Lake Flaccid.
It's the skater gator.
Coming to theaters.
That would have been so 1989. The skater gator.
Yep. Oh, no, yeah. I'm sorry. If you're not
helmet,
going
knee pads.
If you're not naming it Lake Flaccid, you're missing out completely.
Have you been to Lake Flaccid? It's a lot of old people. It's Lake Flaccid.
Oh, God.
God. we go some places. I never thought I would learn a story about somebody throwing ice cubes at alligators.
Yeah, see if I can dig up that video.
That's hilarious. So, the entity that tormented the Bell family and the Red River settlement almost 200 years ago is often blamed for unexplainable manifestations that occur near the old Bell farm today. The faint sounds of people talking and children playing can sometimes be heard in the area, and it's not uncommon to see candlelights dance through the dark fields.
I thought you were going to say, it's not that unusual, love by everyone.
No. That would be an interesting random moment to just tangent off into like show tunes one time.
I wouldn't call Tom Jones show tunes.
I mean, I get the showy vibes, like what's it, Neil Diamond, kind of.
It's all the see, that was all the music my mom loved. Engelbert Humperdinck,
oof,
Tom Jones. This is what I grew up listening to. So, and then my dad listened to like classic rock and Motown. So
nice.
I love that.
There's a lot of appreciation for good music in there, though.
What a well-rounded.
What a weird.
Yeah. That, okay. Fair enough.
Gee, I wonder why they end up divorced.
Now, photography is especially difficult. Some pictures taken in the area show mist, orbs of light, and other phenomena, including human-like figures who were not present when the pictures were taken.
Doesn't they clean their lens?
Oh my God, Martha! Look, it's green. It's the devil.
It's the lens cap.
Oh wait! Oh God! I put one of my booger sugars on there. My bad. The cause of the Bell's torment almost 200 years ago, as well as today's horrid unexplained manifestations, remains a mystery. Numerous theories abound, but there is no one theory that is universally agreed upon by Bell Witch enthusiasts and researchers, and there probably never will be.
It just sounds like a sandwich from Taco Bell, the Bell Witch.
Ooh, yum. What would be on the Bell Witch?
It'd be that shitty cock gun meat.
Day old lettuce. Uh-huh.
It would look like a sloppy Joe, but it's not.
Yep.
I mean,
I think they actually did have a sandwich, didn't they? At one point, like a burger of some sort.
Didn't we talk about that on like a shit fast food places have made once list?
There was a list like that, and it was fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It would have to have like a big glob of that napalm nacho cheese.
Oh, it would have to have the fake cheese.
Yep.
Oh man, that's crazy. Yeah, I'm sure there's. I guarantee you there's.
I mean, they have a chicken flatbread sandwich.
Not the same. It has to have the meat.
Yeah, chicken. As in the chicken flatbread sandwich.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. Well, we are essentially a fast food podcast as well, so it's important for us to.
Oh, here it is. It was called the Bell Beefer. Oh, that doesn't even sound good.
The Bell Beefer?
It was a hamburger based meal on Taco Bell's menu from the mid-70s to the mid-90s.
Really?
It was a bun
I do not recall that.
It was a bun with the cock gun meat, diced onion, shredded lettuce, and mild border sauce.
I mean, I'd eat it.
More like
I feel like I'd try it just so I could say I did.
It even says more like a sloppy Joe than a hamburger. Make a run for the bathroom.
Yeah. Speaking of running to the bathroom, I think it's about time to take a break. But when we come back, more spooky times in Tennessee.
This is the grave of a young Indian girl.
A little girl keeps coming up.
Yep.
This is kind of freaking me the out.
There was a skeleton in here.
Yeah, it does look like a small one, like a young child or something like that.
Yeah. Somebody broke in here and they stole the remains. Now, they estimated that she had been dead somewhere around 300 or maybe even 400 years.
Oh, wow. John, he's been having a small girl, like, appear, and she seems like Native American. She's got straight black hair, like a white kind of shirt. I wonder if that had anything to relate to this grave.
What the f***?
You having problems with your camera?
Yeah, will not take video.
I hear it cutting on and off.
It's got full battery, right?
Yeah.
We get a lot of cameras mess up in here.
Does that happen a lot?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes they just shut off.
Have you had anything personal actually happen to you in here in the cave?
Yes, I have. One thing that I've seen four times in 22 years, and I really don't know what this thing is. It's like a big mass, and it's always moving. It's very obvious when you see it. People takes pictures in here. Sometimes some really weird things will come up on pictures. These are things that people don't see when they're taking the picture, but once they snap it, it shows up in the picture. Some lady was on a tour, and she saw this thing coming across in front of her, and she just stood still and just kept snapping her camera.
Oh, wow. Have you had anything real recent happen in here?
Yesterday on my last tour, a lady said she felt something tugging at her hair. We didn't see nothing there, but the lady said she felt it two or three times during that tour. That's why I don't come in here by myself.
This whole place creeps me out.
It's strange.
Right now, we're standing 75 feet underground. We have heard some pretty strange noises back in here that we can't explain. One of my tour guides was back here doing a tour, and they heard this real loud scream in here. It scared everybody half to death, including my tour guide.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of stories like that has happened.
You know, I'm getting a feeling somebody's watching us. I have to get out of here.
Those fingers in my hair that sly come hither stare, that strips my conscience bare. It's witchcraft, and I've got no defense for it. The heat is too intense for it. What good would common sense for it do? 'Cause it's witchcraft, wicked witchcraft.
Internet. In a crazy place right now. We can adjust our screens. So right now I'm in Skeletor's electric bones saw palace. Just chilling. I just got jealous. It's true. I podcast envy. Larry's in the rave from 1999,
mm-hmm.
And I'm missing it. So. We're in our second segment. It's time for us to talk. Real talk, boys and gal.
Right.
According to the Asheville Paranormal Society.
All six of them.
On Saturday. Knew that was coming. On Saturday, August 5th, 2006, their group toured the Bellwitch Cave, which got some amazing pictures. First, we'll preface... quickly, the Bellwitch story. Plagued by a mysterious and violent spirit, the haunting involved strange creatures, disembodied voices, violence, and even allegedly resulted in the death of John Bell. As I said, this is our first ghoul with a fatality. Ghostality. Anyway.
It is him.
So. After... So let's talk about the witch. Now, the witch was said to be named after a lady named Kate, or Old Kate, who had a very docile husband, kind of an invalid, and she raised her sons and herself included in that as this person of the land, basically like a hardcore farmer chick. So the witch was, isn't there like a farmer dating app?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is. Cause I actually, funny story. I actually get emails from it because I signed up for my friend. So I get like far, it's like, it truly is like farmers dating or like farmers only or some shit like that.
Getting plowed.
No, and like, because, okay, we were looking for like Killer. A farm husband for her, but everyone that's on there is like 57 and like really bald.
Interesting. No,
in like a naturally bald way, not like I shave on purpose bald way.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have like four teeth. It's not, it's not good.
I'm your date for tonight, Susie. I just tilled the soil.
So, after John Bell died, Kate didn't vanish immediately. That's who they called the witch. After the death of her victim, though, she stayed around harassing Betsy Bell to not marry the man, as we said, Joshua, mm-hmm. and instead married Powell. Joshua Gardner posts this, later became a wealthy and successful man. Betsy's life with Richard Powell was a hard one. He moved from job to job and got involved with some rich schemes that never panned out. After Richard Powell died, Betsy was left penniless and had to move in with relatives.
Jesus.
Did the witch manipulate Betsy's life so she would not have a happy life with Joshua Gardner, but instead have a miserable one with Richard Powell? The witch soon left the family, but promised to return, as I said, in 7 years. She did not come back and plague the family. She did come back and plague the family for 2 weeks. But then again, she was also singing them songs and being sweet. So mm-hmm. I don't understand the plaguing part.
Yeah.
Now, the Paranormal Society asks, who was the Bell Witch? Was she really a ghost who claimed to be connected to Kate Batts, who was actually a real person? Due to her resentment and the hatred of John Bell? Or could the haunting have been poltergeist activity linked to Betsy Bell?
Mm.
There has been much speculation that John Bell molested Betsy.
Oh.
And she unknowingly herself created the Bell Witch, maybe as a kind of tulpa?
Mm-hmm.
To fend off a prowling man in the night? But truth of the matter is, none of this is known to be completely true because our historical records of a small town aren't going to be that great, especially right. 1817 in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, near the Red River, on the former Bell Farm, is a cave that has been called the Bell Witch Cave. Thanks to local legend and lore, many people have come to believe that when the spirit of the witch departed, she went to live in the cave. The cave has never figured into the Bell Witch legend until recent times, but it's also a creepy place. So there's this speculation, basically what I'm getting to, that she did it herself. And now we've talked about, and you know, maybe in the future we'll talk about how much the occult and the paranormal and like seeking the truth or what's beyond this realm. I mean, this was a spiritually crazed time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're pre Civil War, pre Edgar Allan Poe, even really, I think, mm-hmm. well, he would have been a little boy. So it's kind of weird to think maybe he knew about the Bell Witch, but the, this is a time of spookery. People kind of looking into things, you know, lighting candles, maybe bringing about some sort of idea of what else is out there. And I, you know, it's a creepy one for me just because of the death.
Right.
And there's a lot for us to speculate on, which means I think it is time for a verdict. Yes. In one corner, four podcasters you know and love and trust. In the other corner, a witch. A bell witch. We have to ask ourselves, lady and gentlemen, do we think this is real? What do we think? Do we think there was an explanation? What do you think was really behind the Bell Witch? I'm going to throw it to Larry.
I mean, cliffhanger here. No. The whole ghost thing is so antiquated, right? Like, ghosts, they're wearing clothes, but they're wearing clothes from, like, the Civil War era. You never see a ghost with Junko jeans and a wallet chain. Right? You never see a ghost with juicy pants on.
Ooh, yeah.
No, they're all wearing shit from, like, the 1860s. Like, ghosts, is that, like, is there a cutoff point? Like, after that, ghosts just don't appear? Or, like, where's the ghost dressed up like it's the fucking 1980s?
Yeah, maybe that's just, like...
And why do ghosts... Why are clothes ghosts? Shouldn't they be naked? Like, the clothes don't have souls. Like, what if you... Like, did everybody just die dressed up in the 1860s during the day? Like, where no one's wearing pajamas or, like, just boxers and a wife beater. Like, none of it makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, for me... A lot of when they speculate on those things, it's energy based.
Like, where's the ghost that's dressed up like Eddie Vedder with a flannel and torn blue jeans? Where's right. that ghost?
I don't know what I sure hope we see him one day.
I'm sure there's a ghost of someone walking around with like hip hugger jeans and one of those studded belts and like a tiny thin tie, Avril Lavigne style, with a choker.
And that real thick stripe highlight.
I mean, but like I was saying, and the ghosts tend to be energy based, and so I think that they. When you see them, it almost always seems like the reports are like they're in the process of walking to and fro somewhere. Maybe in a businessman of the time, his energy would be projected as a ghost that was doing that same thing. So I'm just trying to play devil's advocate mm-hmm. to when you say why they were clothed. But as far as the variations of what ghosts look like.
How'd you become my advocate? That makes no sense.
I'm intern saying I apologize. Okay?
I
mean,
I don't know. Where's the ghost that worked at SeaWorld and it's just in a Speedo? Like, where's that ghost? Where's the ghost that worked at IHOP? Yeah. Or the Target ghost that's just wearing red and flannel? And he keeps getting confused with the State Farm ghost named Jake. Where's that ghost?
I get your arguments.
Where's
friend.
The ghost mailman?
Yeah, there
you go.
Deliver
ghost mail.
Yeah, at least one of those like 1930s old granny photo looking mailmen yeah. that's got like a bajillion mm-hmm. packages and delivering mail in this during the Spanish flu.
Yeah, postage juicy. Meow, sign for him. Meow. Where's the mafia ghosts?
What if there's mail in the afterlife?
Oh Jesus!
And you still have to deliver like, mail.
You've been pre-approved. Great, thanks. Bed, Bath, and Bouillon. Thanks. 10% off.
As you're saying that, Boo April walks up and takes your coupons away.
Yeah, the Dutch ghost of coupons past.
I need these for my next trip to Starbucks. Yeah.
Oh, look, they've got a sale at electronics at Best Boo.
Well, What up, Boo?
Hand soap on sale at Bath and Booty Works.
Mm-hmm. Here's a joke straight out of 2001. Let's see what kind of electronics I can get at Medium Play.
Oh, that was fun. Well, all right. So that's what the skeptic has to say. Yep. What about you there, Mr. Beard?
I agree with Larry.
Wow.
Smart play.
Yeah.
Not often.
Now, here's a question. Do you think that witches, like especially witches of the time who dabbled in the occult or in like sorcery or anything like that.
Well, these witches had a lot of hobbies. They kind of dabbled in sewing or. No, I just dabbled in the occult. You do any knitting? No, just occult. Just barely. I just dip my beak. I just dip in my beak in it. Exactly. That's the nose. That's that big witch nose, the beak.
Right. Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. Gotcha.
I didn't have to.
All right, Aluma Mommy.
Boy, you know, as much as I love paranormal stuff, and I tend to err on the side of like believing in it, the story is just too full of plot holes. Like, right. There's too much that doesn't add up, and they're like. There just needs to be more evidence. And because it's 1800s, right. You know, there's no way that like the story could be verified. There's no way that it didn't. It wasn't like a game of telephone where it started off as one thing. And now there's fucking Lori from 1800s singing hymns in the bell house.
I mean, if you really stop to think about it, we're in a time where there are cameras every fucking where. Where are all the ghost videos?
Right.
I hear you.
Yep.
I hear you, brother.
I just like, and I tend to believe paranormal stuff. You know, we've done Amityville Horror, and I've always said that like that was something I believed in, and the Enfield Haunting is something that I can support the idea of, but this one's just like I can't believe that it's anything more than just. Like a
My
tall
shoes
tale.
Flew off.
Yeah, exactly. Andrew Jackson thought it would be cool to tell this story, and I don't know. Yeah.
I was at the bar, and then all of a sudden I woke up in my bedroom. Yeah, because you passed out, and we dragged you into your bedroom.
Exactly.
That's not paranormal activity. That's just normal activity.
Right. Well, and especially talking about was it Betsy that was potentially sexually assaulted or was being assaulted? Like, I don't put it past her to, you know, project that into some sort of protective being. Like, it's sort of interesting that the only person the quote unquote witch didn't like was John Bell.
Right.
You know? Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing that ties me to that theory. And that's my favorite, like, not my favorite, but it's my. Definitely the one I'm thinking is the most, you know, Occam's razor if we're going to go by all those.
Right.
I think that makes more sense than the actual ghost story itself.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, indeed. And you know what?
Because there's probably a lot of shame involved with that back then, too.
Oh, for sure.
Could be the whole family trying to protect her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, supposedly she at some point was seen by some psychic who put her in hypnosis and she confessed to being Kate in that state. And that's where they get that supposed evidence that Betsy basically said she killed her dad with the poison by creating this alter ego through some hypnosis. But then you have this theory, you know, somebody could have cooked this one up.
Right.
But I will say that I was surprised when I came to kind of the end of this research and found out that that was such a highly speculated theory.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I really cut you off, April. I'm sorry if I did.
Oh, no, you're fine. That was all I had.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say again, that my theory is that if it's anything, it's tied to the dad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she created it as some sort of defense mechanism and, you know, good on her for getting away from that creep.
Right. Right.
But you know, in the end, it's probably all fake.
Yeah.
That's your verdict. Oh my goodness. It is at the end of the episode.
You know what? So, you know what I have?
What's that?
Do you know what I have?
I do want to know what you have.
I have a voicemail.
Voicemails.
Hey guys, it's L. Pete. Of course, love your show. Patreon, well worth it. If you listen to these guys, and you're not a Patreon, subscribe. Well worth it. I just wanted to tell you guys, since I'm you mentioned on the show a little while ago, people started listening to you guys and talking about going through rough times. And when my wife was pregnant with our son, JP, basically they scared the heck out of us and told us stuff was really wrong to the point where we should consider terminating the pregnancy out of consideration for the problem. Jumping ahead, thankfully, perfectly healthy. He was amazing. But anyway, I started listening to the podcast maybe the week before he got the news about something possibly being wrong with the pregnancy. I was listening to it all the way to work, all the way, every day. I started from the very beginning. So I could tell where you guys had been. I was missing some jokes, so I wanted to listen to it. Fast forward some, it really kept me going. It took me out of myself. Made me laugh when nothing else was making me happy at all, which I owe you guys so much. But when JP was born, he was in the NICU for a while. And they told us that skin was in contact with how it was. But my wife wasn't in the NICU with him. She was resting. I was holding him, and he would just sleep all the time, and I would have my headphones on, and I would listen to the podcast, really, you know, pull it to kind of a chuckle. And I'm holding him one night, and I was listening to the Squonk episode, and it's winding down, and, you know, anybody have anything to add before we end this bad bear? And sure enough, you guys played the clip of April meeting the My Little Pony and Barack Obama slash thing. And I laughed so hysterically and so loud. I woke up the whole NICU. I didn't realize what was going on. I opened my eyes. Nurses are running all over the place. Somebody's taking JP out of my arms, shoving me out. Security, and like we've been told, it would be a hospital. I almost got thrown out of the hospital I worked in. I was laughing so hard with you guys. That was just, that really cemented things. That was what put you guys over the top. I've always meant to call and thank you guys for, you know, being a major part of helping me get through one of the roughest times in my kind of life. I hope you guys are around for a really long time. How do you get it on?
An interesting thing, because you don't set out to be there for somebody during the roughest times, you know, it's
no,
not in your head whatsoever, but then you hear it and it's like, it's a weird feeling. It's like, it's not like I can go, well, yeah, they, you know, of course that's what I was set out to do, but
hey Larry,
really cool to hear. Yeah.
When we're done with this, when we're done recording, can you send the file of that voicemail anyway? Or is that the only way?
Yeah, I can send it to you. I can send it to you.
I'd love, because I didn't hear bits and pieces of it.
I know.
As good as I wish.
I know. Yeah. Maybe next time, not during. Maybe not while I'm in the middle of a thing.
Okay, my bad. I'm sorry. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, it's nice to know. I love hearing those stories. For sure. It's, you know, we just are silly and we make each other laugh, but I don't think I ever think about it. Like when we leave from recording an episode, like, wow, I wonder how that's going to affect someone else. I mean, obviously I'm certainly glad everything worked out for JP and that he's healthy, but, yeah. Whoops. Sorry.
I wish I had that kind of ego. I was like, yep, I'm going to save people's lives today, but I don't have that in me.
No, I don't. I can barely get myself through the day, much less someone else.
I think, I saw a meme and I posted it, I can't afford therapy, so everything's a joke. That's kind of how I live my life.
Exactly. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I mean, you know, most of my day, I'm just giggling at things like looking at raccoons and calling them like giraffes and just being a weird lost mailman on the wrong side of town. So thank you to people that do.
Thank you, LP.
Save.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I think that's it, guys. I mean,
sweet,
cool. Are we good?
Yeah. I mean, to end this bad bear, I'll insert the Barack Obama April.
Oh boy! Right.
Why not? Let's refresh everybody's minds here.
Must we?
I know. Blame your husband. He told me to set up the recorder.
God damn it.
You're welcome. Well, sometimes we need a refresher, and that's one of our greatest hits, and we have you to thank for it.
Yes, Josh. Some say thank, others say blame, but yeah, Josh, thank you.
It depends on what side of that coin you're on.
Yep,
but yeah.
Yep.
Well, before we do that, do you guys have anything you want to throw out there before we end this?
Play guitar and I finger chicks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I shit my pants.
Solid.
Yep.
I hope it was solid.
Yeah. So on that note, as this will be the thing that we end on, I do have to tell you guys this because it just brings me such joy and makes me laugh.
Okay.
So we've been working very, very hard, or rather I have. Okay, Josh has too, but mostly me. because we're still like we fully pee potty trained Asher.
Uh-huh.
Right? But pooping has been like this huge issue. He's terrified of pooping on the potty.
I mean, I would think with the genetics it would be easy, but yeah.
One would assume so, but it's not. So I've tried everything. I've tried putting him on the toilet backwards so he can like use a whiteboard marker on the inside of the lid.
Dude, that's like the
pictures.
That's like the cool way to poop.
Right. I know I want to poop that
honestly,
way.
That's how I breakfast poop. I just pull up a bowl of cereal, sit on the toilet backwards and work them Fruit Loops.
Exactly. So thankfully he's like, finally, like the light bulb went off. It like the switch flipped in his brain and he's like, oh, right. Poop goes in the potty. And I'm like, that's great. So he's been going, he'll tell me like, Mom, I'm pooping. And I'm like, cool. Go do it. You don't have to announce it every time.
Mom, I'm pooping.
And he left the door open the other day and I realized how he's been pooping. Okay, so he has a Mickey Mouse potty seat, right?
Okay.
That I thought that he was picking up and putting on the seat because he's terrified of sitting on the seat because his butt falls in.
Right, yeah.
Instead, my sweet, sweet son has been lifting up the lid and the toilet seat, so it's just rim.
Yeah.
And he stands up with just his ass cheeks hanging over the rim.
Okay.
And like drops the turd in standing up.
So it just kind of slides on the inner lip.
Yeah. Yep. He lays it like an egg standing up.
Like an Olympic skier going down a hill.
Yeah. Just... Yep. Like a slalom. It slaloms down the side of the bowl.
A sloppy slalom.
I just imagine like it's a cigarette and it's just ashing into like an ashtray. Yeah,
it really is. Cause it's just, he's standing straight up and just his little ass cheeks are hanging on the edge of the rim.
That's how my cat shits into the litter box. Actually.
And I'm like, why? I said, you have your potty seat. What are you doing? But then I'm like, hey, look, the poop's going in the potty.
In.
I don't really care how it's getting there.
Well, then see, your son also may have just insanely stumbled upon a $1 trillion idea because maybe the whole reason people have back problems is because we've been pooping wrong this whole time.
I may have to try this tomorrow. Right. Yeah. Like, should we all try this tomorrow and see what happens?
We'll call it perch pooping.
Perch pooping?
Yes. I'm telling you, $1 billion idea.
Yep.
Copyright Beer City Media. Yep,
that's right. Perch pooping. It's Perch a thing pooping. Now.
Underscore the turd. Bird turd.
Bird turds.
Well, doctor, you see, my whole life I've had back problems, and now I tried this new Beer City Media perch pooping, and it's all changed.
I could see a scientist taking off his glasses like, we've solved it.
It just cracks like me up because it's like the exact opposite of what the squatty potty is. Like they want you to fold completely in half, and yeah, my kid wants to stand straight up.
Be straight up.
Exactly.
And there's like a flashback, and there's like all sorts of calculations on a big giant chalkboard. the chalk is just a dried up turd.
Yep.
Yeah. And then there's this scientist banging on the table like, we'll never figure it out. And then never.
And the janitor named Will.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I think I might be stealing an idea here. Sounds familiar. Good poo hunting. God.
Exactly. God almighty.
Well, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
We are out of here, but we love you. We'll see you in another episode.
Indeed.
It's the Conspiracy Therapy Podcast. Be back next Monday. Love you.
When I look out my window, many sights to see. And when I look in my window, so many different people to be. That it's strange, so strange. You got to pick up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch. Mm-hmm. Must be the season of the
This has been a presentation of Beer City Media.